Yes, well now...
So the first entry of the RCNVR officers was in 1940.
I think that's right.
Well, we'll check the fact, yes. What were they like, they were your first... They'd be sub-lieutenants, most of them.
They were probationary sub-lieutenants.
Probationary acting sub-lieutenants temporary, as a matter of fact.
Yes, yes. They're really a marvellous group of young men, as one had a right to expect. They came from right across Canada, and they'd been selected. And
now, talk about the difficulties of the early days. You hadn't got a... You had to put a curriculum together. You had to find instructors.
Yes.
Who was director of studies way back then?
Ken Ketchum.
Oh, Ketchum, yes, of course.
Yes, yes. That was succeeded in getting Ken. Ken had been a cadet with me at the Naval College in Esquimalt.
Yes.
And so I knew him. And... did what I could to assist the appointment of Ken Ketchum to the college, but it was chiefly the minister, I think, who was responsible for persuading Ken to leave St. Andrews.
What was Ketchum? He was the
headmaster of St. Andrews College at Aurora.
Yes.
Near Toronto.
Yes.
And his brother was headmaster of Port Hope. There's a brother.
Yes.
And another brother was head of a junior school at another part of Canada.
So they were all used to training young men.
Yes.
And that's what you had plenty of.
Yes.
Yes.
Whereas Ken was a... absolute blessing. He was a wonderful character, sterling character.
Well, you had Brentwood time too, so you knew you were on the same wavelength.
Yes, yes.
And you both had Naval College time, so you were on the same wavelength. You see, this is a great team.
Well, it was helpful.
Yeah.
Very, very, very helpful.
Who else did you have as staff?
Well, by a stroke of good fortune, RMC shut down its active training because of the war.
Yes.
They could no longer afford that length of time. So they closed down the acceptance of cadets for training at RMC. So that released Lorne Brown, mathematics. Another wonderful chap. I can't think of his name at the moment. But there were two right away. Oh, yes, and then there was Cook, C.C. Cook.
C.C. Cook, what did he teach?
Physics.
Physics.
Yes. And he taught nearly every chief of naval staff and chief of the army staff for years.
Yes. So you had these three professors from RMC.
Yes.
But they weren't teaching those subjects at Royal Roads.
Well, Cook seemed to...
I mean, RMC was a 3-year course, wasn't it?
Yes.
And Royal Roads was putting through some temporary acting sub-lieutenants to get them to sea.
Yes, yes. I think I've jumped a step ahead with the two RMC.
It's probably me that's jumped, but go on, as you remember.
It was when the Naval College started.
Yes.
That we found staff from... yes, you see, I'm talking about the... It's true, it started as RCNVR training department. That's how it got HMCS Roy Rose. But the three professors from our embassy came later after the Naval College was re-established.
For RCN officers?
Yes.
I see, yes, of course.
And then, of course, we had to get ahead with academic subjects.
Yes. So the RCNVRs would be getting such subjects as customs of the service, boat pulling, sailing, parade ground.
Gunnery.
Oh, yes.
Gunnery.
Plenty of that.
We had torpedo.
Gunnery, torpedo.
Torpedo and seamanship were the main things.
Yeah. And but they had...
Hatley Park had wonderful stables. So we had other buildings apart from the dormitory accommodation and the quarter deck, that sort of thing. Up near the old Hatley Park castle, as the cadets, as the subs called it. So we had these other buildings with lots of space.
And that's where they slept?
No.
Classrooms?
They slept in the so-called castle.
Yes.
And in cabins.
Yes.
All the bedrooms. There were an immense number of bedrooms. And some of them big and some of them small. So they slept in the building itself.
They were made into dormitories. Well, how many could you sleep there?
Well, we slept... roughly 100.
Good heavens.
And, of course, the messing, they naturally overflowed the dining room.
Yes.
Right out into the hall, down the hallway, past the great big fireplace. So it was all fairly close quarters.
And you got some naval officers as term lieutenants?
And then we proceeded to get naval officers as term lieutenants. Two stripers, young chap, not very much older than the subs, and that was a very happy arrangement. They were very close to them in all their activities, including instructing themselves. Well, darling, what can I do?
That's just putting up the legs.
Oh, no, I could not.
Yep. So you had these 100 cadets living in the castle. They stayed for, I think, was it 3 months or 6 months? 3 months. Before they went out to the fleet.
3 months, then it was increased to 4. They found it practically impossible to complete the instructions should have been given in 3 months. Yes, and they went to Naden or Stadacona for more, well, continuous training, including sea time.
And then out into the fleet.
Then out into the fleet, yes.
Now, that went on for how many years? Before the college started taking RCN cadets?
Just about 18 months. About 18 months, I think, yes. We started taking RCN cadets in 42.
So the first class of RCN cadets came in 1942, and there were also RCNVRs there doing their short courses still?
No.
No, they had stopped.
They had stopped.
They had gone to King's. HMCS King's in Halifax, I suppose.
Yes, King's carried on.
Yes. So now you're a four-ring captain, HMCS Royal Roads, permanent force cadets,
entering to join the Royal Canadian Navy?
Yes.
And how long did you stay in that role before you turned over to Captain Creery, I think, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, I stayed 4 years. I was there altogether almost 5 years. That included railroad time. It included the DVR. Is this on?
Yes.
Well, I must have missed the batteries. One of the events that took place when I was at the RCN College, the commandant, it wasn't known as commandant in those days, of course, or captain of the college. The word commandant had not been applied to railroads at all until came two services and three services college. However, during my time at Roy Rhodes, in the very early years, I applied to Ottawa for permission to visit the UK, with a view to proceeding to Dartmouth and having a good look the Dartmouth routine and comparing it with the RCN College routine. Though I was pretty familiar with the Dartmouth routine, nevertheless, as time went on, especially in wartime, things were changing rather rapidly. And I wanted to make sure that the RCN College was proceeding on the right track. This permission was granted. And I went over in May 43. And I went to literally almost every training establishment in the UK with a view to getting experience and seeing if we should embody any of the Royal Naval training at Royal Roads, which we didn't already have. For instance, damage control was a very, very important subject and a great part of the organization of the fleet in the Royal Navy. So the damage control school in London, I went to that. And I went to King Alfred, which was the RCN, the RNVR training establishment at Brighton, an enormous establishment. And I stayed there for 2 days. And I found the routine much as the same as the routine at Roy Rhodes when we went off the end of our establishment. After visiting, as I say, a number of these training establishments, I went to Dartmouth with Captain Aylmer. They were very, very kind to me. They put me up for a week. And I had the most busy and delightful time with all the training instructors, schoolmasters, the headmaster, as he was known, the director of studies, became known as headmaster, because he was the director of studies in the old days at Dartmouth. and I lived the life of the college of Dartmouth as much as was possible to do so, in order to absorb as much as possible. I kept very intricate notes, which I still have somewhere, copies of them. However, another, what I considered a very important part of my visit to England, I proceeded with, that is, at the Admiralty in... I knew a number of people at the Admiralty, including NA2SL, the naval assistant to the Second Sea Lord, who I believe had responsibility for the appointment of junior officers in the fleet. And he was very, very kind, granted me a number of interviews, and my endeavour was to persuade the authorities that it was terribly important to the future of the RCN that the midshipmen receive more or less the same appointments as midshipmen to the Royal Navy. Well, it proved to be the case that they did in the end. They had for instance they were appointed to ships like the Belfast, which was largely influential in helping later became the commander-in-chief, who was in Auckland. I can't remember the name of the ship now, but they were on a Russian convoy, escorting a Russian convoy, and they sunk on this particular convoy. I think they were sent out specially for the purpose of hunting the sound horse, Dane comes up.
Yes.
Well, of course, we have graph on Spain nowadays. He had a rather foreign name, the captain of the ship, but she was eventually finished off by the Belfast. Well, now there were a number of Canadian, my ex-cadets.
Where shall I put it?
Thank you very much indeed.
Don't put it on the microphone. Well, you're talking about HMS Belfast now.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is now in the Thames.
Yes.
And open to the public.
So Canadian midshipmen went to HMS Belfast.
Yes, a number of them.
Yes.
And ships of that type and that kind of activity. So a number of them saw action in important engagements of the fleet, and so gained invaluable experience. I also went to RNEC, Manadon, near Plymouth.
Yes.
Royal Naval Engineering College, where in those days cadets who were entering the midshipmen who were entering the RCN permanent force in the engineering branch, and they went to Manadon and received practical engineering training at Manadon. The captain was Captain Sebastian, engineer captain, Captain E. Sebastian. were the very charming men and very, very efficient naval officer. And I stayed at Maladen for a day and a night and was able to rectify a number of, well, I was going to say difficulties, not exactly difficulties, just grown up as a routine that the RCN Maladen midshipmen were remaining abroad too long. They weren't getting home. So they were getting a bit moody, and Ottawa soon put that right. So that, as a result of that visit, I was able to accomplish a few things, which was to the benefit of the, greatly to the benefit of the RCN as a whole, which was very satisfactory.
Yes, you certainly did.
To me.
So you returned and put some of these new ideas into practice?
Yes, yes. There was no great change in routine, but the of course, the staff, including the academic staff at Royal Roads, were all engaged and consulted in any change that was contemplated.
Yes.
And we had a very happy and I like to think, efficient naval college.
Well, nearly everybody I've spoken to that has been there, and some of your RCNVR sub-lieutenants are running large businesses in Canada today. Some of our most influential citizens in Canada today went through, and they remember their time there with fondness, and they remember you with fondness. You have taken the place in their hearts that Commander Nixon took in the hearts of your years. What do you remember? Any particular of your RCNVR sub lieutenants? Anybody stand out?
Actually, I kept a great big ledger, which I wrote all my own private observations concerning
another bubble.
Concerning the subs. One thing I had to do is when they left Royal Roads, was to write a few notes what I consider would be a suitable type of employment at sea for these individuals. Well, of course, we had a very short time in which to become really acquainted with these lads because of the time factor. And we used every possible device to get to know them, including rugby, boxing, games I found big help in getting to know the character of individuals. And boxing too, though perhaps a lesser scale. However, when the time came to close the RCNVR phase, of Roy Rhodes. I destroyed all these books because I felt it was unfair. I had my observations in writing, written down on such short acquaintance. And I regretted it afterwards because in following up a number of individuals, it would have been very interesting to have compared their present-day activities with their progress.
With your assessment then?
Yes, assessment then.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been good for me. However, I think I was right. You leave these things lying around, or if they're turned over to a naval establishment, sooner or later they become lost. I remember the punishment book of the old Naval College turned up in Leyden years later with the no great harm, but the punishment of the cadet subject at the college, which was written all out in fair language. And I remembered that and thought it was not a good thing. The past misdemeanor should be handed on from generation to generation.
Yes. Tell me, for the benefit of Dr. Douglas, have you what we refer to as naval papers? Diaries? Midshipmen's journals? I know you have I've been looking through your album of photographs. And my question is, of course, what do you propose to do with them? Dr. Douglas would like them for the archives in Ottawa.
Oh, in
due course.
Well, I haven't really got very much. You see, my daughter, Nancy, won't keep a certain amount.
Yes, of course. Anyway, we'll talk about this at some other time. I just wanted to mention it now that these, since you mentioned your book which you had burned, that the archives, the National Archives, is a good place for anything that you, your family does not
yes.
particularly desire to keep, yes. although I know they'll want your photograph albums. So tell me about your leaving of the college and what year it was.
Yes, well, after this experience in the United Kingdom, of course, I returned to the college. And one of the noticeable events took place very frequently would be the visit of dignitaries to the college from various parts of Canada and from other parts of the world, including the USA, of course, the Royal Navy, the Royal Norwegian Navy, and there were people like Sebastian, the captain of
Manadon,
who stayed with me, and we renewed our acquaintance of Manadon days, which was a very happy event. remember we had several visits from American ambassadors, and all these French ambassador to Canada. Well, this all meant a certain amount of entertainment.
Yes, Thrones.
Yeah, Thrones. On four occasions, I think.
I've flown on Princess Alice on four occasions.
Yes.
I see a picture of you behind me shaking hands with him.
Yes.
Yeah. And a picture of her over there on the piano as a wren.
Yes.
Well, eventually, of course, now, you asked a short time ago, if I remembered any outstanding RCNVR subs. But I do remember them. I remember one in particular, a chap named Gillespie, Alistair Gillespie, who took part in parliamentary dealings in Ottawa.
Yeah. His last appointment was Minister of Trade and Commerce, I think.
And he was a wonderful, wonderful sub-lieutenant. And after he had left Royal Roads and had been at sea for some time, I asked Ottawa if they would let me have him as a term lieutenant with the RCN cadets. And sure enough, they approved. He came along and he proved to be a marvelous asset. He was good at everything. He was a brainy chap, but he was very good at games, very good at tennis, squash.
I played squash with him in Ottawa.
You do?
I did. Several years ago.
With Gillespie.
Yeah, with Gillespie.
Yes.
At the Skyline Squash Club.
I do know him, yes. So you know him.
Well, only on the squash court.
Yes. Well, I had great admiration for him. I don't know about his parliamentary dealings.
The Premier of Ontario, what's his name, was a naval officer. Did he go through Royal Roads? If I can't think of his name, you won't know. Robarts?
No.
Didn't know.
No.
Well, anyway, there's your outstanding cadet. He rose to cabinet rank. I don't suppose you can do much better.
No.
And the time is coming when Commander Creary is going to take over, I guess.
Take over what?
Doesn't he take over from you as captain of the college?
Oh. I was in the present time.
Oh. No, let's go back.
Yes, that's right. Yes, well, I knew my time for leaving the college was approaching. As I had been there nearly 5 years, including my RCNVR time, the time with the RCNVR subs, and sure enough, a letter arrived in due course from Ottawa, advising me to be appointed to Ottawa on such and such a date, and that my relief would be Captain Creary, who I knew very well. date arrived, of course, all was in readiness for him. I left the Naval College with the greatest regret, but a full realization that one can't stay in such a happy appointment forever. And after my rather magnificent office at Royal Roads, I ended up in a little square brick office at Ottawa, which rather kept me in my place, I think. I finally found my particular job at Ottawa was assisting the CNS, Chief of Naval Staff. It was then Admiral Reed, concocting letters to the Chief of the Air Staff, giving reasons or explaining how, really, cadets could be accepted from the Air Force at the Naval College. Only comment I had to make on this new arrangement that we should become a two-service Naval College, later, of course, to become three-service Naval College, three services. Well, I think we had to, in order to have the age grouping on a parallel basis, both services, because of the instructors and the curriculum, which would have been very, very difficult to run two different schemes in the same establishment. I pointed out that we would have to advance slightly the age of the RCN entry with possible detriment to the total intake of RCN officers, of RCN future officers. This proved to be the case, but was not an insurmountable obstacle. And judging by my conversation with the cadets, a number of years after I left college, the cadets themselves rather liked the idea of a two or three services college, and that they met their future partners in the services as cadets, and so could establish friendships which might stand them in very good stead in later years. This is an argument which, of course, holds good the other way round. If you might decide you didn't like so-and-so and he was a cadet, then you might go on disliking him. But I think on the whole it proved a success. Well, I think that really ends the...
Well, thank you very much, sir.
you can tell, and thank you very much, Mrs. Grant, for the hospitality you've shown me here. I have obviously enjoyed myself, that's not how you see, but I thank you on behalf of the historian, Dr. Douglas, too, for giving us this invaluable, these invaluable insights into what it was like in the early years. Mm-hmm. I'll make this into a typescript, and if I have any questions, perhaps I can come back just for a short while to clear up things.
Yes.
And then we'll get this off to Dr. Douglas for the archives.
Yes.
And shall we sing Heart of Oak and close the proceedings? Or perhaps we'll just have another cup of tea.
Well, no, you do have such a piece of cake, don't you?
Thank you.